Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty Daily Podcast. I am your host, Jordan McNamara. We are going to do a deep dive on Trevor Lawrence. So getting through the quarterback position here. And Lawrence is a highly touted prospect. I like the player. I wonder if the ultimate question is if I like the price. And I think that's really going to be the thing that I probably going to come back to and talk about multiple times here over the next month or so leading up to the draft. But when you look at his profile, it's very good. And so I've done some percentile work just sort of looking at, hey, where are these guys on sort of a percentile rank? 88th in terms of passing rating, which is very good. 75% for yards per attempt, 78 for non-pressure, 93 when you look at his when you look at his rating under pressure, he's the 93rd percentile, 88th percentile in PFF's composite grade, 82nd percentile in play action, and 80th percentile in non-play action. So you look at that and say, all right, that's pretty good in terms of across the board. I don't see an elite stat. It's probably the under pressure rating would be, I think, his best number when you look at all of the stuff. That's the one of the, it's less predictive than non-pressure rating, for example. So if I were to say, hey, let's, I'm not trying to pick on Trevor Lawrence, but if I was going to go with the contrarian position on Trevor Lawrence, I'd center it around the fact that he didn't do a great job as a passer from the pocket on an efficiency basis. And you know, from a clean pocket, you should be tearing it up, and he didn't do that. And that's one of the things that you have to sort of look at with a side eye. That'd be the contrarian argument. Is there something to that? Maybe. But I think, you know, some of it can be weapons. I could sort of be persuaded that, hey, maybe his offenses weren't that good and that he was elevating them. I could sort of be persuaded by some of that stuff when you look at Burrow and you look at some of these other guys who've had all these, you know, Tua and others who've had all this other help. I can understand that argument to a degree. What I will say is I think that there's questions about the overall elite high-end production. I think that's probably where my rub would lie the most, is where do you... You know, where's he? I get he's very, very good, and that adds up to being a really an outstanding prospect. But where, from a dynasty perspective, is he a difference maker? And you know, is it the longevity? Is it the high floor? Is it the high ceiling? Because I think that those two things are a couple of different things. If you're shooting for ceiling, I think you could shoot different ways in this class. If you're shooting for floor, you could do it different ways out of this class. You know, you could do it for, yeah, I'm sure you could get Aaron Rodgers plus for Trevor Lawrence, for example. If you're shooting for floor, I mean, that's something I think you have to think about how you want to do that and why you would take a first round pick as a floor bat. First, you know, the 101 in rookie drafts as a floor bat, why you would do that. Yeah, so that's really the thing that I would say about Lawrence overall, is his stats don't really bear out this elite, you know, superhuman prospect that he's narrativized to be. One thing I did hear Matt Waldman say recently, and I actually really appreciate his perspective on this. He basically said, if you're going to put this Andrew Luck moniker on him, that, you know, he's, and you're supposed to have this, he's the next Andrew Luck generational prospect, and your assumption of Andrew Luck is that he was the perfect prospect coming out of school, then like you're wrong. Because then you're basically, that's not, Andrew Luck wasn't that. And you're sort of putting Lawrence in his own, you know, in a mythical sphere in which Andrew Luck never really existed. He said, or you can look at him and say, all right, well, Andrew Luck was an outstanding prospect who had some flaws that ended up showing up in the NFL. But in terms of like threshold to succeed and, you know, can basically do pretty much everything really well. And that's kind of what you're looking at for Andrew Luck. Like, okay, that's a fine definition to have. I think that's a really, really interesting way to think about Lawrence in terms of, hey, there's no way that he really hurts you in terms of his profile. He's pretty good at everything. Maybe he doesn't necessarily isn't the most super elite at everything, but when you add up very good at everything, it turns into being elite. I could sort of get on board with that as an argument. I don't think it is he's got Mahomes level upside, right? That's a different I think that's a different debate. So that'll be the thing that I'll be looking at and in terms of, you know, monitoring some more of the stuff that'll come out and all that other stuff. So in terms of, like, we'll see some of these quarterback stuff, and I'm not sure if they're going to do like quarterback room and all the all those pre-draft specials and everything. But yeah, that's something that I'll be watching to see sort of if we can get some of this more analysis on where it all boils out. I will say, in terms of guys that throw it quick, no one throws it quicker than Trevor Lawrence. In terms of looking at some of his stats, looking at his percentage of throws that are quicker than 2.5 seconds is amongst the fastest in this class. It is the highest in this class by a pretty significant margin, and it is when you sort of break that down and look at it. The other question that I would have is those guys didn't have a ton of good comps, right? So the guys that were really, really quick, you know, very high percentages of throws out quick, it's a lot of that spread system that was just making those quick throws, and there was some questions about the how that would translate, and that wasn't a great success rate. So when you look at Lawrence, right, that's the other part of the question that I have is, yeah, you could say he's making quick throws because he can really process fast, but it's that doesn't really stand out as being what was going on. And when you watch, right, a lot of it's schemed up stuff, a lot of it's that this quick RPO stuff. So those are things that I would just say, like, I don't think that's actually I think that's kind of a crush narrative type thing. So when I watched the tape, I watched the quarterback room on him. He's a big guy and can make throws. I mean, it's pretty – like, some of the throws he makes is really good. I saw an awesome back shoulder throw. He ran tough at the goal line, which is noted. Some of the stuff that he does, like, it's not perfect. So you'll see some bad balls, like you'll see some imperfect balls. Some of the stuff he rushed a throw on a screen, for example. He missed a couple of deep balls, but he makes these throws that not a lot of people make either. So there's this play where he's sort of running against, to his left and makes a throw into a tight window along the sideline for a third down conversion. Like, that's pretty high end stuff. And JT O'Sullivan, the host there, was really talking it up. Did see multiple batted balls, and this was actually the game that I watched in the that they played in the playoffs this year. Three fumbles, was thrown off his back shoulder or his back foot. There were some problems with it. Some other things that I've seen show up. He does have some read issues. So I don't think that's necessarily a shock to anybody, but there are some times where he'll have problems, you know, reading coverages and reading where the ball should be. Some stuff with, like, him not reading hot, for example, like him reading some blitzes, struggled with that at times. So that'd be something that, you know, once they start heating him up and he's taking a lot of those throws that aren't necessarily super complex in terms of, hey, it's a 1-2 read type deal and it's out real quick. You're not facing all these exotic blitzes and all that stuff. Just a thing to keep in mind is sort of he converts to the NFL. Also watched two more games, you know, with some notes from the film school or the quarterback school. Fluid and smooth was a quote that I heard a couple of times him pop out to be. So that was interesting. But he's more of a see it, throw it type thing. That was there was a couple of things that kept showing up. See it, throw it. How much anticipation is it? And, you know, some of the decisions when he's hot or when there's blitzes coming, right? Those are the two things that I think jumped out from a flaw perspective. And that's not necessarily to say that those are debilitating, but those are some things that popped up a few times. Good escapability, throws on the run, all that stuff. Like I said, missed a handful of throws, but people do that. Airmailed a couple balls down the field. Far from perfect was a quote that I heard. So again, far from perfect, gimme. It was a multiple thing. Far from perfect game, I should say. Excuse me. But can have some really wild moments. Right, that was kind of the thing was a theme to it. It was that. And watching these, I mean, I don't think he was cheerleading. I don't think he was poo pooing or anything like that. But when you sort of watch that, you sort of take off that lens and watch some of the other stuff. Those things kind of pop out. So, coached at a really high level, and he has the ability to hit driver off the tee box was the other thing too, with some of his throws. So that was some interesting analogies that I hear. All the clubs in the bag. Lots of golf references there in terms of his arm. So those were some interesting things. We'll take a look here at the Bruce Feldman, some of the Bruce Feldman quotes that we've been sort of tracking. The surprise with him is his running ability and his toughness. I just don't think people realize how athletic he is. He's very good as a thrower. I don't think his arm is out of this world. It's not Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes or Aaron Rodgers, but it's very, very good. He's about as good a quarterback prospect as I've seen in years. He's tall, mobile, smart, and accurate. I love how the ball comes out of his hand. Teammates seem to really like him, and he's played a lot of games and in a lot of big games. So a lot of that resume stuff. I worried a little bit about him living up to all the hype that was heaped upon him so early. He was great against Alabama as a freshman. He wasn't impressive against LSU the next year. He was just a little off that night, especially after Joe Burrow and LSU's offense got cranked up. You'd expected him to match that, and he didn't. But his receivers weren't on the level of what Burrow had there. You still really like what you see from him on film and also how he carries himself. The spotlight has been on him for a long time for a college kid. And I think that's a good sign because he's going to have to carry that franchise. So a lot of the stuff that we can get ideas on some of the film stuff and all that, but a lot of the off the field character stuff kind of checks out for him. So that's helpful. In terms of his cost, again, this is going to be the thing for me that's the most concerning thing is going to be his cost. And so when you look at, we can go ahead and look at one of the we can go ahead and look at some trades here, for example, or we could look at his value. He's valued in basically the late first, that first round rookie pick. I wouldn't ordinarily say that we should put a player on that pick, but I think he's such a consensus 101 this year, almost no matter what else happens in Superflex, that we can almost say that that's 95%+ him. Sometimes when you take that pick, you're taking, all right, maybe it's like 60% somebody, but I have some insulation on if something else happens. I'd have a hard time seeing how something happens where it's someone other than Trevor Lawrence. So I don't know. I don't think I could come up with one. I was trying to think of who San Francisco could draft and how they could do that, but I can't even think of that one. So some trades for him in terms of, we'll just look at some super flex trades here with the 101 over the past, there hasn't been that many recently, so just keep that in mind. So let's see here. I take that back. There's been a trickle of some in recently, I should say. 101 for J.K. Dobbins, Henry Ruggs, and 211. 101 for 102, 202, and 407. That's not enough. 101 for Devontae Adams. Again, these are all super flex trades. Allen Robinson and 104 for 101. that's interesting in terms of if you're sort of going to go with my theory that you basically have a random shot later on in the draft. You know, it's essentially a randomized shot if you're taking top 10 guys, and you're going to take a top 10 guy at 104, and that's your plan. And you say, all right, like if I fully believe that, if this is the year to do that, you're basically getting Allen Robinson for the right for someone else to take the random shot. So that's an interesting, you know, if you sort of think that way, man, that's pretty interesting. And I am much closer to that than anointing any quarterback. We've seen plenty of these situations where anointing a quarterback has been really bad. So I'm sort of going that way. Similar, another one here that does that essentially the same thing is T. Higgins in 105 for 101. Again, I think at 105 you'll get a quarterback crack for sure. So some other ones here. Ones that I wouldn't be that interested in is like 102, 202, and 407 for 101. That wouldn't really tickle my fancy at all. There's one in here where it's Deshaun Watson. There's so many moving spots to this, I can't even really ferret it out. One here that's interesting is DJ Shark 101 and 112 for Joe Burrow, Andy Dalton, Kiki QT, and 108. So if you say the... Yeah, it's interesting. If you say the 101 is and Burrow are pretty close, and you're basically paying, that's really got to be valuing Shark in 101 higher than Burrow to be on that side of it. So I'm surprised that they had to include some of the stuff that they did in that side of the deal. So that's just sort of a little bit of a preview here. You know, some other ones, 101 in Michael. 101 for Michael Pittman, 104 and 204. That's one that I probably wouldn't put Pittman in that same category of worth it to move down, make someone else pay for it to move down, right? We could sort of have that theory, but if it's not drawn the market value stuff, you shouldn't do that either. So that's pretty much the jam. One other one that's really interesting, it's getting a little far afield of Trevor Lawrence, but now that we're on the topic, 101 and Jonathan Taylor for J.K. Dobbins, 103, 109, and 203. So if I were to sort of look at this one, I would say, like, Dobbins is, man, this one's bad. Dobbins is like Dobbins and 109 for Taylor. I don't know, just use those two things as proxies for each other. It might be even be more than that. I don't think it's less than that. And then you say, all right, it's 103 and 203 for 101. I mean, man, smash the Taylor 101 side. Miles Sanders, DeAndre Swift, and T. Higgins for 101. That's an elite premium return. So you're not getting a quarterback crack there, but that's interesting. Dak Prescott and 110 for 101 and Laviska Shenault. You run to the table to take that Dak Prescott shot. One I wouldn't do, 205 and or 105 and 108. So 101 for 105 and 108, I wouldn't do that. I think you can get more. So those are the basically the trades, some of the valuations. The question that I have on him ultimately is the cost. So I like the prospect. I have questions about him, as I have with all these guys. And if he was going to cost 301 in a startup draft, then we could really talk. It's going to cost 110. It's just too much that can go wrong. And, you know, we've seen it just when you look at the data on this, it's largely random in terms of how these guys end up turning out. And I can't get on board with that expensive. And it's not the most expensive quarterback we've seen that hasn't done it. So we've seen Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield did it a little bit, but Baker Mayfield relative to the position was more expensive than Trevor Lawrence is. Granted, at the time, that quarterback three, quarterback four that Mayfield was going after his first year was more like third round startup pick. It's not late first, so you sort of factor that in, but that's more positionally to other positions in terms of how the quarterback position is. Amongst the quarterbacks, Mayfield was more expensive. He was going up at quarterback four. Lawrence isn't there yet. So when we've seen that with how Mayfield has turned out, that to say that that's not in his in Lawrence's range of outcomes is probably expecting a little bit too much from him. So not that that's the most likely outcome, but that that is definitely something that we should have in his range of outcomes. So I will do it for this episode. Trevor Lawrence, until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.